I'm speaking with Wally Tyner, agricultural economist with Purdue University and the primary author of the latest Farm Foundation report on what's driving food prices. This new report is a follow-up to reports during previous price spikes in 2008 and 2009. And Dr. Tyner, to get us started here, why don't you first just summarize what you found in this report?
We identified two really big drivers, two things that just happened to occur at the same time, and the cumulative effect of both of them was that they were dominant in terms of causing the shocks that have occurred. And those two big drivers are the use of corn for ethanol in the United States and Chinese soybean imports. The easiest way to think about it is thinking in terms of the amount of land that's required to satisfy those two demands. So in 2005, we were using about 16 million acres to supply all of the ethanol in the United States and Chinese soybean imports. In 2010, it took 46.5 million acres, which is an increase of 189%, just to satisfy those two demands, and that amounts to 29% of the total U.S. acreage in corn and soybeans. So that is a huge change over the last few years, and it means that today our stocks-to-use ratio is very low for both corn and soybeans in the U.S. We have 20 days of corn and 24 days of soybeans, something like that, and so these two things taken together, either one of them by themselves wouldn't necessarily have caused the run-up that we've seen, but since they're both grown on the same ground, by and large, you put the two together and the cumulative effect of the sum of the two is greater than either one of them taken separately. And associated with that, and the other big theme of this report, is what we economists call greater inelasticity, but in lay language it just means that there's less responsiveness now to price for a large part of the demands. And let me explain that. One of the things that doesn't respond to price is the demand for corn for ethanol. And the reason it doesn't is that it's fixed by the government. There's something called the Renewable Fuel Standard that mandates that 12.6 billion gallons of ethanol be consumed in the United States in 2011, and therefore, there's an associated amount of corn that's mandated to be used for ethanol. And so that's fixed. It doesn't matter if corn's $2 or $10, that corn must be used for ethanol. So it's inflexible to price. We also find ourselves in a rather unique situation where the livestock sector demand for feedstuffs is not particularly responsive to price because they've just been through a cycle of downsizing because of 2008 price increases. So 2008, the price increased. Livestock producers lost money in 08 and 09. Herds downsized. We're consuming 15% less beef today than 3 years ago. And prices went up now. Today, beef and pork prices are up 11 and 13% compared to 08. And that means that, in a sense, the livestock sector's already sized. They've already adjusted to the high prices because they started that adjustment process in 08, but it takes several years to work through, particularly for the larger animals. So that also means that the livestock sector today is not responding that much to price because they've already downsized to the higher prices. So those are the two big themes, are the less responsiveness to price and the two big demand shocks, Chinese soybeans and U.S. ethanol.
Now, you did these reports in 2008 and 2009 as well. What do you see as the big differences between this report and the previous two that you've done?
Well, previously, China has always imported a lot of soybeans, but nothing like they have in the last 3 years. China has had in many of the ag commodities a policy of self-sufficiency, but in 2008 they were caught off guard with the price increases. In 2008 they had a stocks-to-use ratio of 3% and scrambled to get into the market and get the soybeans they needed. So they changed their policy in 2008, and 40% of the soybeans that have been imported since 2008 have not been for current consumption, they've been to build stocks in China. So now their stocks are up to 23-24% stocks to use ratio. So they're at a level that we think the Chinese policymakers are comfortable with. And one implication of that is that for looking forward, both for ethanol and for Chinese soybeans, there's been a huge growth in the last 3 or 4 years, but in both cases, the demand is not going to grow much in the future. For ethanol, our mandate reaches 15, your renewable fuel standard reaches 15 billion gallons. We're almost there. We're at 14 billion now. So corn ethanol is not going to grow much more. It's still a big amount. It's still a big number, but it's not going to grow much more. Same thing for Chinese soybeans. They will continue to import a large amount of soybeans, and it'll continue to grow at a sort of the rate of growth of their consumption, but you won't have this huge stock growth, which we had in the last 3 years. So the good news side is that while these two big drivers have been huge in the last 3 years, they're going to be not as important in the future as they have been in the past because the rate of growth in both of them is different. Another difference between now and 2008 is that in 2008 we found that some of the macroeconomic drivers, particularly the exchange rate, were really important. The dollar fell 67% between 2002 and 2008, and that meant that even though the prices were high in dollar terms, they weren't as high for other currencies because the dollar had fallen so much. Since 2008, the dollar's bounced around quite a bit, but it hasn't moved. It hasn't fallen or risen. It's still low by historic norms, but it hasn't fallen a lot further. It's just been a bit volatile. So those are two of the important differences.
Now, ethanol has gotten quite a bit of blame for higher food prices and the whole food versus fuel debate. Does this new report indicate that you believe corn for ethanol usage is playing a bigger role percentage-wise in the food price increase this time around?
No, we do not assign percentages. These things are so closely intertwined. They're so closely linked with each other, it's impossible, we think, to assign percentages. But let's back up. We are not saying that either ethanol or Chinese soybeans are a major driver of food prices big in terms of the global food basket or the U.S. food basket. The price of corn has very little to do with the price of cornflakes. It has a lot to do with the price of livestock products. So corn and soybean prices are an important influence on the price of livestock products, and we've seen those increase quite a bit. Interestingly, it's mainly due to the 2008 surge in those markets, and they're holding high because of today's prices. But there are a whole lot of things that we don't go into in this report. Even though the title is food prices, it's really about commodity prices. If you translate that to food prices in the U.S., there are lots of things that go into food prices, not just commodities, but energy cost and packaging cost and labor cost. All those things play into food prices. USDA says that the share of the food dollar that goes to primary commodities is 16%. If you double 16%, you have a significant food price increase, but most of that is going to be seen through the livestock sector and not through other food prices.
Do you factor in at all the one-third of the ethanol production that comes out as DDGs, which is livestock feed?
Absolutely. In fact, all the numbers that we report for corn are what we call net. You've read in the press, you've seen that we use 38% of our corn for ethanol. And in a gross sense, that's true. But the net number is 27%, and that's the number we report because that's the number that really matters. That's the number that reflects how much corn is being taken out on net after you account for the DDGS. So in that sense, in 2005-06, it took 10% of the crop, and in 2010-11, 27% of the crop. So it's grown quite a bit, even after you take that credit. But our view is that we should be using corn numbers net of the DDGS credit in terms of talking about the impacts of ethanol.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Wally Tyner, agricultural economist with Purdue University. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.